Hey everyone, this is your girl Delilah. Make sure to be following me at Miss Delilah C on all social platforms.
This is your girl Ayana. You can follow me at the Aya Brand on all social platforms. And today we are here for episode 48 with the lovely guest, Shade Ayodele.
Yes, let me introduce her first because she was about to talk. We need a proper introduction for Miss Shade, who is a publicist for a global firm by day, and by night, she is the boss behind B is for Boss, a platform that empowers women to live their best life and accomplish career and personal goals. Currently, she's planning for an awesome women's only trip to Tulum, which we will hear more about. So continue listening so that we can learn all about it. Welcome.
Thank you. Hey guys, I'm so excited to be here and to take a page out of y'all's book. Follow me at Sade the Socialite on Instagram and Sade Ayodele at Twitter. Don't judge me because it's not the same on all platforms, but it should be.
Hey, sometimes that happens. It's fine.
And sometimes it'd be long and it'd be looking crazy.
And Twitter got like, yeah, it's
the character situation be funny. Plus, I'd be so quiet on Twitter these days.
Yeah, like, I feel like it kind of goes with what y'all talk about, not like 9 to 5. I feel like Sade, I like my Twitter is like my 9 to 5, and like my Instagram is like 5 to 9. So,
That's a good way. Kind of
how
at
I
it.
Have it. Yeah.
It reminds me of Kayla because she be talking about Kayla Walker. Mm-hmm. She talks about like on Instagram, it's all like more professional, but then on Snapchat, you get the real and it's like uncut.
Yeah.
So it's like I guess people pick between, but. I be trying to be the same, but I be quiet. I be quiet on Twitter.
Or not, like, I'm non-existent, except during the war season. So, jumping into this episode is titled Redefining the B Word with our lovely guest. And before we get to know more about her, we want to know, like, do you have a positive note this week? A high for you?
Yeah, so a high off of me, for me, if you follow me on Instagram, I actually just wrapped up a crazy month for work and personal. I actually had 4 back-to-back media tours.
You've been out there.
Yeah, which started in April, actually. The last week in April was the NFL draft in Dallas. Then I flew straight to Spain for some World Cup work. Mm-hmm. Then I flew to LA for personal to celebrate my friend's 30th birthday. I'm kind of turning that age. All my friends are turning 30. So then I came back to New York for a couple days. Then I went to Germany again for work for a week. Then I came back to New York for 2 days. And then I capped it off with a little vacation in Puerto Vallarta and lived my best life.
Yes, I was looking at all the photos. The stories was lit.
They were.
And that was another celebrating another friend's milestone. So just being surrounded by like powerful women and hearing what they were all up to was a total high. And I feel we'll re-energize after that crazy month to kick off June really strong. Summer's here.
Yes. Summer is here.
What is the lead time between, like, trips? Like, how do you prepare and plan for them, like, in work? What's, like, the prepping before, like, heading out?
So it ranges. I got back to work yesterday. Like, hey, can you go to LA next week? So sometimes I'll have, like, a large lead time. Usually with the global work, I've been working on that project for 3 months. So it's been very exciting to kind of finally see that come to fruition. It was my first 2 like global media tours. So I actually, the athlete that I was working with, one of them didn't speak English. So I actually had a translator when I was media training them. The media members like they spoke different languages. Some of them spoke English, some of them didn't. But so with that could be like a 3-month project, but like for like new business or anything like quick, it could be like a week lead time. So it just kind of depends. But I have been prepping for May. I had known that it was going to be a long month. I had already prepped a lot of my clients in my 5 to 9, being like, hey, like, I'm off the grid the month of May. Get your time with me now, or else I cannot help you until June. So
So at least you prepare in that way so that you don't burn out and so you get what you need done.
Yeah, for sure.
And going more into, like, what you do, can you share with us kind of, like, your trajectory? You know, we think what you do is super awesome because you're in sports PR, but, like, tell us more about that.
Yeah, okay. So from my 9 to 5, and I tell everyone in all my, like, bios, I'd be like, my 9 to 5 breathe, like, 9 to 9. Like,
right.
It's a
very ongoing.
Yes, it's very ongoing. But so I work at Ketchum Sports and Entertainment, which is a PR agency, and I have clients that are on the brand side. So when I work in sports, a lot of people assume that I work, like, that I'm, like, working with LeBron James or, like, Odell Beckham. And I'm like, nope, my clients are actually like toothpaste brands, like
right. that try to position themselves.
Yes, that are positioned. Yeah, that are aligned. So they're usually like sports sponsors of like the NBA or mm-hmm. the NFL or the World Cup or different things of that sort. Sometimes they're not sponsors, they just want to align with an athlete. So I work on that strategy. The example that I like to use, which is no longer a good example because they're not a sponsor, is like if you've ever seen like the Papa John's commercials in the NFL. Obviously, that's a whole nother topic of what happened with that. But before it went south, you associated Papa John's with the NFL, and that's kind
like
of
game day. Yeah, exactly. Like,
and so that's the whole reason behind kind of being a sports sponsor is that you want people to start to associate your brand same way, like how Coke is with the NBA and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. So, I help brands leverage their sports sponsorships so that the same positive fan reaction that these fans have and that they love behind their teams, they in then associated with the brand and purchase the brand more. So
that makes sense.
And has like, how did you even get into this?
Oh, it was a long journey. So I knew I always wanted to work in sports and entertainment, but and I think this applies for most people in college, like you don't really know what that looks like, right? Like you mm-hmm. see like one or two examples, you're like, oh, I gotta either be like a broadcaster,
right,
a journalist, or I do have to work for an athlete,
right.
And that's actually not the case. And just when I came out of college, I took a job in tech, but someone that I had worked with that company had left and went to a sports agency where she was doing work there, and she kind of like was like, hey, like I know you've always wanted to work in sports, like this isn't your traditional sports, but I think you'd be great at this. And so that was kind of just how I got my start, was just through networking. So that's when I learned about kind of like agency life and what its sports sponsorships entails. And it's really interesting. I keep saying I'm going to host a webinar sometime this summer soon. Yeah, because I feel like there's so many young women that want to work in sports and they just don't realize how many layers. There's so many things. Even what I do, you can do copywriting, you could do like creative strategy, like it doesn't have to be PR. There's just different, you could do if you're good at video editing, like we need though, like we create content for our clients. So there's there's a plethora of opportunities. It's just one, knowing that they exist, the awareness, and then two, like going after them. So
and another thing I learned, like as I've been in the industry, is that certain brands and even like personalities, whether it's like the sports person or the company, like they leverage out certain parts of business to different agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So like it could be just you guys doing the tour, but then another whole PR agency is doing a different.
Huge, like you know, I work with so many agencies. Everything, it could be an experiential agency. So at these events, whether it's NBA games, whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's the draft, they usually have like the experiential, like on the ground type stuff. Mm-hmm. So those are entirely different agencies that do the event planning on the ground.
Right, exactly. Like the 3-point shoot contest before the game even starts.
Exactly. So that's, like I said, that's another like experiential. Right. Then you got PR. Then you have like sponsorships who are literally the ones like that are negotiating the deals. Cause I don't like my clients are NFL and NBA sponsors, but mm-hmm. I didn't help them get the deal. There's jobs that exist where the people work and negotiate those deals on their behalf. So
got it. And then they end up with you guys and whatever.
Correct.
Got it.
So sports is a very dominated industry, right? And what you do, like to your point, a lot of women are not aware of the type of jobs that are in what you do. So with the political climate today, we're kind of trying to understand, when you go into any environment, do you look at it as, this is my job, I'm a publicist, this is me? Or do you look at it as, I am a Black woman, I am a woman in mm-hmm. such a male-dominated field? Like, what's your take on that? Because I know that it can get tricky, right, for women in general.
Yeah.
And then there's your moral and your integrity of yourself.
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I would say on the corporate side, when I'm just in like meetings on my day to day, I think what I've learned is like knowing your shit, right? Because people automatically assume women don't know sports, right? So most of the work that I do, luckily, is things that I'm truly passionate about. So I really know it. But like, for example, I don't follow soccer as closely as others. And so working on the soccer project, it really stretched me, because you don't want to be in a room working and talking about things that are incorrect. So that means after work, I got to go home and do my research. I'm watching games.
Right.
I'm trying to learn different things, because it doesn't come as naturally to me as like NBA and NFL, which I follow outside of work just off because of being like a fan. It. Yeah, because I like it. So I definitely say that's something that's different is that, like, in general, I feel like men are given more credentials in the workplace and people just assume if they're dominating or if they're a man that they know more about a subject. But I feel like when it comes to sports, it's like times 10. So it's just making sure that I'm, like, educated. And then when it comes to being, like, that intersectionality of being, like, a Black woman, I think just in corporate America in general, you always deal with being, like, an only or a one of few. On the flip side, when it comes to, like, actually working with the athletes and things of that sort, I do make sure, like, I'm more aware of, like, how I dress and how I act because you don't want people to assume, like, you're only in this to get closer a man to or trying to get closer to an athlete because it's not even like that. Right. And obviously, it's still a professional setting.
Right.
And then a lot of time, these players are with they might bring their girlfriends or their moms or their agents, and even their agents might kind of side-eye you when they first see you. But then, like, once they realize, like, you're about your business, like, it's easy. Like, I just feel like I have to command respect and... Right.
It's so just, there's always that prejudgment.
Yeah, anyway. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You walk in, you
feel like something probably was said.
But that's every day, right? I'm sure you guys experience that in your fields too. Like it's just that's just being a Black woman in America is that we come with a few kind of already preconceived notions when you walk in a room, and so it's just showing them like, no, that ain't it. So
and also to the flip side of that, like you're more culturally aware of certain things, so it works to your advantage to know how to speak a tone or understand a jargon or understand or get a joke.
Absolutely,
some sort. Like,
absolutely.
Know, where it has to other
especially
people.
Now we are living in a, as you mentioned, a politically charged
climate
and. Especially working on the NFL last year with all the kneeling and things of that sort, it did work in my favor because a lot of our clients were coming to me, even when there were white men in the room, and being like, Shade, what do you think?
Right.
Shade, what about this response statement? Shade, whatever. And I feel like they knew that that was not their place, and they stepped back, and that's why there's value in diversity, because...
Right. Right.
You saw certain brands, i.e. Papa John's, releasing statements, and then they're losing business. Mm-hmm. Your stock is crashing. People are boycotting you and things of that sort. So I guarantee you, if we could do a snapshot of that room before they released that statement, they ain't look like us. So
that was the first mistake. That
was the first. I didn't even know this thing about Papa John's. What is it? What was it?
So basically, during all the kneeling, they had made a statement where they threatened to like pull their sponsorship, and they're one of the biggest sponsors because they said essentially that the players were like disrupting from football, they were like mixing a like American pastime, etc. So we were like,
what,
you know, we like pizza, right? But not your pizza no more. And so it turned into this whole thing where they thought they were like making this like patriotic statement, right. And it backfired and people started boycotting them, and then they ended up walking away from a sponsorship that they had, and now Pizza Hut is actually the official pizza of the NFL.
It sucks because Papa John's is bomb, yeah. And I don't even like Pizza Hut.
So sad.
This is what happens, though.
Yeah,
I didn't even know. I mean, I stopped like watching the NFL completely since that whole thing, so I'm not even tuned into it because I'm just like, until I see otherwise and people doing being respected for doing the right thing, I can't even support anything.
So before we wrap up on your 9 to 5, I do want to know, have you ever had a situation where you didn't feel confident in a room where you had other peers and they looked at you a certain way or they prejudged you and you really had to like own it? Did you ever feel?
Yeah, all the time. Especially earlier on in my career, just being, not knowing, right? Like I feel like we're taught like, work hard and things will happen, and it's not true. One thing about corporate America that I did not know and I had to kind of get to know real fast is politics. Mm-hmm. And not politics like Democrat, Republican.
Politics.
I'm talking about
corporate politics.
Yes.
Like as the per my email shit. Okay, we always got to bring it back to that.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Had a corporate thug, like all kinds of that. Like,
and people low key, BCC.
Yeah.
Girl.
Okay.
That's a whole, we can have a whole podcast around.
You know what? Not a bad idea. Yeah,
a whole podcast around.
We just trying to put y'all on so y'all get smarter.
Yeah, so that was something that I wasn't taught You're not taught it in school. Yeah. My mom's a teacher. My dad's in real estate. So I don't feel like they deal with it as much. So I didn't learn from them. My sister's a nurse. Like, I just didn't have anyone to learn from because they were in these careers where it wasn't as prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, learning everything from, like, asking your, like, to me where I struggled is, like, again, I'm like, oh, if I work hard, good things will happen to me. But it's like, no, you got to work hard. And, you know, we got to work twice as hard.
Right.
But on top of that, you have to, oh, hey, how was your weekend? How are
you?
You got to
play the game.
You got to play the game, right? Yeah, and you got to raise your and you're super busy, but you still got to, like, raise your hand because else everyone's going to be like, oh, like, you're not stepping up. And it's like, I'm doing 100%. Like, 100% means promotion. It's like, no, boo, 150% means promotion.
Yep.
Right. And, like, so one of the biggest lessons I learned was, like, before you take that next step in your career, you got to be doing your job and the next job.
Already.
And well.
So, yeah. So, I would say, coming back to your question, like, did I ever not feel confident? Like, yeah, like, there were times where I thought I was giving 100% and the other person I felt was giving 75%, but because they were doing all that extra fluff, they were progressing faster. And that starts to take a toll on you. And so, like, it would come through. And in my industry, we do a lot of brainstorms before we come up with these concepts for our clients. And so, like, not speaking up or, you know, not volunteering, things of that sort. And so then over time, I realized, like, girl, like, you just got to operate at 150% all the time and learning that. And so now I am able to find my voice and I am able to walk into rooms and feel more confident. But every now and then, you know, I have a bad day or I'm just not feeling it and I just feel intimidated.
Yeah.
Again, in those settings where I might not know a sport as well or I might not know a client, I might be at a, I've only known a client for 6 months, but someone else has been there for like 10 years and they're laughing about old times that they had together at Super Bowl, like 25, which was like 20 years ago, you know? And so in those moments I do feel small, but it's just kind of reminding myself like I deserve to be here. Right. I am here. Embrace this moment and give it my all.
That's well smart. Said.
That was well
So now getting into your 5 to 9.
All right.
let's talk a little bit about your platform, The B is for Boss. Can you tell us? We love the concept. We think it's so great. Can you tell us like how that come about?
Yeah, of course. So The B is for Boss is, as we kind of teed it off in the beginning, is my platform for millennial women, specifically women of color. To really help them level up in their careers through resources, through events, and through just different networking opportunities. And kind of the idea behind that was I had a bunch of friends that would always come to me as like, oh, girl, help me with my resume or help me do this or how are you always doing that and et cetera. And so, like, I'd help them and they were getting jobs. And then, like, once they get the offers, they're like, should I help me negotiate? And so, like, I helped them negotiate and they secure the bag. So, like, literally, like, I'm sitting back like, obviously, I'm lit because seeing my friends do well makes me excited. Me doing well makes me excited. So then it's like, now we're just a group of, like, bad bosses doing big things. Yeah. And so I knew that there's a lot of boss platforms, right? It's girl boss, boss babe. When I looked at them, the women didn't look like me. Mm. They didn't look like my friends. They didn't even look like people don't like they just look the same. Blonde hair, blue eyes, you're a boss. And those women are bosses too, but
Right. But they're not the only ones.
The only ones that are bosses. So I wanted to kind of like flip the word boss on its head because specifically Black women have this kind of stereotype that we're the B word.
Yeah.
And or we're either bossy or we're bitchy, basically. And I've been called that since I can't really like you went from sassy when you're like 3 and then like when you're like 5 you're bossy and then like by like junior high people call you bitchy whatever. And so that's kind of like the tagline, redefining the B word. And I think also it could be redefining the being a boss, redefining being a bitch, redefining being bossy, like defining it for yourself, because I think a boss comes in all shapes, sizes, shades, and personas. You don't have to be loud and rah-rah to be a boss. You could be a silent boss. You could be quiet. And I wanted to create this platform that really spoke to that, and so that people could see bosses in all different forms, whether it was someone that's a boss as a teacher, you know what I'm saying?
Like dominating.
Dominating where you're at. If you're at your school and you were one teacher of the year, you're a boss. Mm-hmm. Like, on that teacher's salary, or if you are in PR or if you are doing hair from your house, but you got 10 clients mm-hmm. and you paying your bills and you're a boss. So I wanted to make sure that I highlighted those everyday women, because I also think mm-hmm. on the same vein, we live in the day and age of social media, and you with think odds. To be a, exactly, you got to have red bottoms, you got to be wearing a mm-hmm. Louis Vuitton, you got to have just the Balenciaga that looks like socks.
I feel like so. If you can help somebody make a better moves, yeah. that's a boss.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Help the next person level up.
So I wanted to redefine that word. Yep. And I wanted to help more women get to those stages so they felt like it and they could define it for themselves. So. Right.
I mean, I think it's great because you're putting a lot of context around what the definition of a boss is, and you kind of get to, like, figure that out on your own.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like with non-corporate girls.
Like, very much like non-corporate girls. Yeah. Okay, so question. We want to know what you think about this. This, you know, it is a political climate and all that stuff, but this is, like, the age where women are, like, really stepping up. Like, all yes. women. I mean, not stepping up, but, like, they're being recognized.
No, for, yes, they are. But it. I was just saying, because did you guys both get to see the video of Cardi B with Maroon 5 right now?
No.
Oh, my God. When y'all get a chance to watch it, they have a song together. Oh, it's Maroon 5, Cardi B. It just came out. Okay. And it's, like, literally the good boy version of Nice For What of Drake. Like, you see how all the women mm-hmm. were there? Well, there's all the women. Guys. There's a whole bunch of women okay. that he's, like, speaking to in the song. And, like, you see them, like, dancing along. Once you see it, you'll know what I mean. But, literally, I said that. I was, like, what is this thing with, like, women
recognizing us
yes yeah. and just like us coming together, like it's definitely a wave, like I don't yeah. want this to be a trend, I want
definitely
it to continue
yeah.
but there's something that has happened in these last like
a
2 years
definitely occurred.
I mean, I know one of it was people coming out with the whole sexual harassment thing yeah. in Hollywood, but I don't know, there's some like gathering,
you know,
womanhood.
What I think the shift was I think when the world collectively saw and go back to politics, mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton dedicated her whole life to politics. Like 40 plus years. Day in and day out, she poured her life. You can say whatever you want, yeah. the emails, you can say
right.
she was...
Right. Yeah.
You cannot take away the fact she spent 40 years putting work in for this moment to be president, senator, everything. Mm-hmm. And then...
She lost it.
To a man who never worked in politics a day in his life.
Who's not credible enough. You know what?
That gave me such chills right now.
I mean, that's
and
true,
and it was
though.
Like, you would take the least qualified yeah. man...
Just to not have a woman in politics.
Just yeah. not have a woman. And I feel like that, like, woke people up. Like, that's I feel like it was stirring point. Before. I feel like it was stirring, yeah. but I feel like it woke me up. Like, I was like...
Wait a minute.
Like, you, and when you watch the numbers, and I'm just like...
And it's scary.
Very.
So, okay, to that point, yes. Women, we raw, we're here. We're,
yes.
we're not going anywhere. But... There's also this thing with women where there are some women who like to raise each other up and we compliment mm-hmm. each other and we're moving forward. And then there are other women who like to tear people down. And even though we're on this rise, there's still those women.
Yeah.
And your platform celebrates being collaborative and community. So I just wanted to know, what's your take on like these
like
two...
i.e. Azalea Banks type people, like, you know?
Whatever.
I know. Always tearing something, and I didn't even want to say
always,
that to someone, but like...
though. Why?
So, something else that I saw recently, and I don't know if y'all got to see it, the Jada Pinkett and
yes,
Gabrielle.
Yes, I saw it today, actually.
Yes. So,
that
something
good.
That I love that was so honest about Gabrielle Union that she said, for those of you who yeah. might not have seen it, was that she was just basically saying, at a point in her life, while she was doing well... It still wasn't enough. And anytime another woman who was also doing well came in the room, she felt threatened. So a lot of times we
so
just felt threatened.
So she would tear them
so
down.
So she would tear them down. And I think, I can openly admit, that was me at one point in my
right,
life,
right.
too. And I think a lot of girls, like, we're just taught to compete, right?
Oh, my God. I was just reading an article
and
about
I
it.
Read
we're just
that
taught
as well.
To
yeah,
compete.
Yeah, yeah.
Compete for men. Compete for jobs. Compete yeah. for the prettiest. Compete for the skinniest. Compete for the most this, the most that. The You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. we're taught to compete. And it's like... it creates this, like, idea that we can't all win.
Because mm-hmm. We get combative.
Yeah, and there is this book that I read called Girl Code. And
yeah, I read Girl Code.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That book really came at a good time in my life because I was struggling, right? Like, it was, like, I was fresh out of college. I had gotten my first job, and it was like, you get into this mode where it's like, oh, well, such and such has a better job than me. And I'm like, oh, well, her hair ain't laid. Or like, such and such is like getting married, and it's like, oh, he probably cheating. Like, you know what I'm saying? You get
into this wish the best.
Yeah.
All this
and you
run into someone else.
Yeah. And it's like, that book made me take a step back, and it's like, why can't I just be happy? Like, girl, like, I'm lit, you lit, and we're all lit in our own ways. Whether you're having kids, whether you're married, whether you're
we all have different journeys.
We're different journeys at different stages, but we can all win. And so
and different bosses in our own
exactly. Right? And so that book really taught me, like, there is, like, the world, it's limitless, right? Yeah. Like, there is enough. Like,
my word of the week.
Yes. And so once I like realized, I was like, damn, she's right. Like, I don't have to tear someone else down to win. I can just win. Right. And she can just win. And we winning. Like, and so I think once that kind of clicked for me, like, it just turned my world upside down, because I feel like I was a happier person, and I could be genuinely happy for people. And I feel like you guys know when you share an update with your friend and you got kind of that bitter friend who's like, oh, good. Congrats. You got your other friend like, yes, girl. Yes. You got that friend that's really you can tell when someone's genuinely happy.
Definitely.
And it's like, I can tell which of my friends, like, again, like I said, I feel like all women go through it, and I can tell which of my friends have come out on the other side and they're truly happy, and then what other friends are kind of still struggling.
Right. And to be a little bit on the fence of those friends, it's like they want to be happy. I know they do.
Yeah.
But they're not. There's so much they're dealing with themselves that they're not happy about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, granted, I can't dim my light to help you shine.
Absolutely.
But I do feel like some of those friends need a little
bit
more
time. Yeah. No, I and I've seen it with all my friends, and the click kind of happens. Well, every time the click happens, I feel like we have a discussion.
Mm-hmm. It's a shift that needs to occur. But sometimes it's hard, though, because they're not aware. And you can't change some shit you're not aware of.
That's also true. Like, and also being aware of, like, because for me, when I hear, like, my friends are doing great things, and I don't know if it's a good or bad thing, but it completely puts, like, an eye on myself. Like, am I stepping my shit up? Like, my friends are doing, like, you know what I'm saying?
So we're trained to think like that. And I had this conversation with my best friend yesterday. Even it's good, but you have to be careful, because it's like, you don't want to get into that comparison thing. Like, comparison is like the thief of joy, right? So whenever my friend says something like, oh, I got this, I'm like, shh, like, I need to be making more money. And it's like, in a sense, like, I'm glad she's pushing me, but sometimes, like, girl, all your bills are paid, you going on vacation, you can get your hair, like, what?
You in your own lane.
Why do I, like, I don't need a raise, because my friend just got a raise. Like,
she got
her raise. Cool. Right. Like, my raise will come when I hit my 1 year or two, like, whenever it is. Like, so it's, like, sometimes, like, unpacking those thoughts and taking a step back and being like, girl, no, you don't need to be like, oh, she did this. Like, what am I going to do next? Like,
right.
She just did it.
Cool. Yes. Let's celebrate her.
Yeah. Put a period on it. Exclamation point.
Everyday work in progress.
Yes. And be done.
That is so true. Everyday work in progress. It is. Well, we have to wrap up soon. But before we do, we need to know who your hashtag obsessed with is. And this could be a woman, man, platform, whatever. Someone you admire, helps you.
Yeah. So I'm actually currently hashtag obsessed with, we talked about this earlier, my friend, and I call friend loosely, I just met her in January at a networking event that I had, a vision board party. Her name is Bane Boozled on all her platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And she just got a job at Spotify.
We trying to get her on this show first.
I will make the introduction.
Please do. Yes. I slid in her DM already.
Yes.
But like.
Yes. So she's my hashtag obsessed, because watching her over like the last like month and a half, when I first met her, like, you always know when someone's just like a free spirit. Yeah, dope. Yeah. So when I first met her, she was like really dope. She's like always like putting funny videos online. I'm like always in her DMs, like crying faces, because I'm like legit crying at the stuff she posts. But over the last like couple months, I had seen her like posting different things. She posted this intention back in April, and she's like, I want to work for Spotify. And she's like, these are all the things I'm going to do to work at Spotify. So like, I remember seeing it like in my peripheral, but I didn't pay no attention to it. Then this week she shared an update, and she's like, I got the job. And then like, once you like, she's sharing these screenshots, and basically Huffington Post has covered her.
Yes.
All types of like outlets, because basically what she did was that she used social media
To
get the job. Yeah. She made a Spotify playlist that like described her, and she's their first ever like African-American, and I'm probably like messing this up, but like fellow essentially. And she's like talked about in her post, like how she always felt like lost, like how these people were always like her peers were in their own lane, you know, going on job interviews. And she was like, I knew that's not what I wanted to do. Right. And then she was like, I've always loved arts and I've always loved tech. And so she was like,
What can I do to make this, whatever.
And so, like, she essentially saw this job and was like, I have to have this job. And she made a website. She put in the work and she got it. Yeah. And so I was just kind of like obsessed with her journey and I won't spoil it because hopefully she'll come on here, but yeah, like she's 22, 23, killing the game. Like, she, like, I love seeing women win, and I especially love seeing women put something out there into the universe. And
I was gonna say, like, she deserves
this. She was clear about her intentions.
And it's like one of those things of reminding women, like, you can have what you say you're gonna get.
Yep.
Like, you can have limitless,
right?
Yes. Yeah. It's limitless, the possibilities, and I think that I was just hashtag obsessed because she put her mind to something and made it come to fruition. Yeah,
I agree. So we play a little game with everyone.
It's not
gonna be fun because we like to get for people to know you better and it not only be about, like, you know, our platforms, but like who we are as people.
Okay.
So this one we did a little remix to it, which was all Ayana's idea, and I love it.
Remix.
So it's called Redefining the B Word Game. Ooh. Bold, beautiful, brave, busy, brilliant, boss. So we'll start it off, guys.
Tell us something you've done that was bold.
Ooh.
This gonna be good.
This is a good.
Like, okay, something that I've done that was bold.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
Personal, professional.
Okay, so, I don't know if I want to tell that one.
Do it.
Come on.
Okay.
Give it the tea.
At a job that I had, there were these, like, kind of like mean girls. I was new to the company, and I was really trying to, like, fit in and get to know them. And we had a deck that we were presenting to our boss. And I had, like, sent my ideas through, sent my bio, like, my photos, whatever. And the girls had, like, deleted me. They took my ideas out and they took my, my bio, like, my picture out and sent it to our boss, like it was complete. And so I was like, dang. And I was, like, new and I was still trying to, like, figure out. And I was like, you know what? This is some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the deck they sent. Put my ideas back in, put my face back in, and I sent it straight to the president. And I was like, hey, Ann, this is actually the latest version of the document. Let me know what you think. And I CC'd them, like, girl, don't try me.
Right.
And she loved the ideas.
Of course.
My face made it back into the deck magically. They was mad, and I'm still lit. So.
Wow.
Poppin'.
That is well, because you went over it. Like, you know,
and CC'd them though, like, and
took a chance on yourself because, like, nobody pre-reviewed the idea, so it's like
it kind of went south.
It could have.
I love it.
Okay, so what is the most beautiful place you've visited? And we know you travel.
Oh, that's easy. Thailand.
Oh my God, me too.
Yes, the most beautiful place.
Ayana gotta make it there.
Girl, it's cheap. it's expensive to get there, but once you get there, you'll be like, oh, sweet.
Like a queen.
Okay. I gotta add it to my bucket list. Yes. Okay, what would you say has been your bravest moment thus far in your life?
Moving to New York, hands down.
Hell yeah, that's a good one.
This place will chew you up.
Girl, I knew one person when I moved to New York, and I'd only been here once.
Prior,
yep. I came here once on a school trip for, like, 5 days, and I was like, I gotta live here. And I went back to Texas, and my parents were like, oh, whatever. Like, no one in my family's ever left.
Out of Texas.
Yeah. My dad's from Nigeria, so, like, but even when he got here, he hasn't left. So, like, I'm like, dang, you ain't want to. Okay. But anyways, yeah, so no one's ever left. So I was 22 years old, left home, two suitcases, knowing one person. And now I know, like whenever people will be like,
you be out here.
Yeah, they're like, how you know such and such? I'm like, I don't know. I just be networking, girl. Like, I just, same way I met you guys. Like, I just go to events and doing that for, like, years and years. And I just, it's not even just, but my 5-year anniversary was back in February. So
you are both two suitcases in a dream.
Yep.
Are both of your parents Nigerian?
No, my mom's Black American.
Oh, okay, because I was gonna be like, Nigerian parents is strict as fuck.
They are.
Like, they leave?
That second brave. Actually, the bravest thing was not getting a degree in engineering and nursing, because I definitely was supposed to be a pharmacist.
Right.
But that's a whole nother story.
Here.
Okay, what moments do you stop and go, damn, I'm really busy?
All the time.
I was about to say, what moments do I... More like, when do I feel not busy? I don't think I've never... I haven't felt... Yeah, like, I always feel that every day. Like, literally, last month was a very trying month for me because in April, I had worked on a girl's resume, and she has, like, 45,000 followers, and she shouted me out. And, like, my Instagram went crazy. So I got, like, all these orders, and I got, like, all of these followers, and it was, like, exciting moment, but then it was like
the bandwidth to handle
I didn't, and I tried it and I failed and people was mad and I was like, you know what,
that's
I'm gonna shut my site down, like these people over here yelling at me and y'all ain't even really paying my bills, like, because another part of my business is that I try to keep it affordable so that the young I can reach these women. I don't want to be the, you know, $5,000 coach, you know what I mean? Right. So I try to keep everything affordable, but it was like, I felt really tempting. Yeah. Girl. And then people follow you on, so, and then when I am trying to enjoy myself, people are like watching my stories, like, well, I haven't gotten this yet. And I'm like,
you know, that's another fine line. That,
or I don't know you. Please don't tell me welcome back. Girl. Like, I got. That's a whole nother story, but...
She can't even complete her sentences out here. Yeah, like, bruh, only I need to fall back.
I'm so bad.
Y'all are crazy.
Yeah.
You'll be thinking, like, once you get a certain following, shit gets kind of crazy. Yeah.
And I don't even have a big following, so that's why I'd be like...
But that's what I'm saying.
Let me slow down, because if I get 20,000... If y'all are like this at, like, 3,000, right. I can imagine that 30,000, 300,000.
Yeah, really, like, you turn around, you like... Where these people come from?
So, social media gives people a leverage to think they own you to some degree.
A large degree.
And once
degree.
They even spending a coin on you, they that's it. Oh, I paid you. You will let.
I was like, ma'am, your $75 is not even getting my nails done. I can't even tip.
You had some expensive nails.
Nails and toes. Nails and toes.
We know better. No, I know, but I'm just like 60. Anyway, moving right along. Our last question, which kind of goes along with something that we like to do, we like to have our guests do. The question is, what moment defined you as a boss? Which we definitely want to hear. But in the same lane, we introduced you to the world earlier today, and we kind of want you to introduce yourself and how you want people to know you.
Ooh, that's a lot to unpack. Okay, so I'll talk about the moment and like how I want the world to know me. So I would say the moment where I felt like I really made it was the agency that I was at prior was in the Empire State Building. Mm-hmm. And when I got that job and I got an office that had like a view of the city, I was like, damn, like I really made it. I'm a girl from Texas, and now I'm working in sports PR inside the Empire State Building. And I remember, like, walking to that office after I accepted the job and, like, looking out the window and being like, damn, I really made it in New York City. So
that's, like, a beautiful view.
Yeah. I was really sad to leave that job and that office.
I'm, like, low-key. I feel like everybody has worked in the Empire State
Building.
Yeah. Not I. Not messing much.
Girl.
Them companies be crazy.
They crazy.
Yeah.
And plus, I don't want to wear any way as a target to anything that's crazy.
Girl, my mama... That's a whole, as soon as I got my new job, my mom was like, I'm happy for you.
That's right.
I was
gonna
say. She was like, this might sound crazy, but every day I used to pray.
I'm
like,
no, for real.
Mom, it's I'm with real. You.
I was like,
I feel like all parents, like even my mom, like, it's high there though.
Yeah.
I'm like, mom.
And Midtown, I mean, I work in Midtown, so yeah. That's still, is anywhere where it's like, you know, it's, major hub.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you got to keep your eyes peeled.
I laughed for so long when that was her first, that was her congratulations text. Like, that's congrats. So I'm so glad funny. You ain't working in that building no more. I'm like, bye, mom.
That's so funny.
But really quick, because I know we're almost at time, how I want the world to know me. I want the world to know me as a woman who inspires other women, helps other women, and is inspired by other women and seeing them win. And as someone, I want to be like, I don't know if y'all, I can't think, Kendall, He calls himself Best Friend on Instagram. He be doing like all, it's kind of
makeup. Is he like a makeup?
No. He does all the, like, he'll be watching like the Love and Hip Hops, and he'll be doing like the retakes. Oh, yes.
And he's doing like a little like TV in the corner,
yeah.
So
they call him Best Friend, and so like that's why I'm like, I want to be like your internet friend where you can come to about career help and. With the coins, though, not for free. Please, right. Don't slide in my DMs.
No, our worth.
But yes, that's helping people, whether you look like me or whether you don't. And then especially for PR, I feel like I just meet so many women that want to work in that industry, and I just want to be a resource. So
holla at Sade.
Holla at her. Me. Sade the socialite. Instagram is the best place.
Yes, it's been a pleasure to have her definitely come and visit us again.
Yes, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
And we about to be out.
We're out.